Been interesting this morning that some of the words which have been shared, the prayers that have been made, etc., so much has been, as it were, to have our focus on heavenly things, to be focused on the bigger picture, the picture of the Lord. And I've entitled this morning's message, Seeing the Bigger Picture. May the Lord help us for a few moments to hear from him and to respond. In the seven letters, in the seven letters to the churches, which we read about in Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 3, at the end of each section, at the end of each church meditation, the message to those churches, where those messages of warning, of encouragement, rebuke, of comfort. It said, you know, you want to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And I want to hear what the Spirit is saying to me. I want to hear what the Spirit is saying to this fellowship. Because that's important, because that's life. That's life. And sometimes he comes with something that we'd rather not hear. And my prayer is that I will always humble myself before him and receive even that word of correction. Sometimes he uses illness. Sometimes he uses sickness, infirmity, because that's the only way that he will be able to refine us and change us into something that is more pleasing to him. He has the bigger picture, and I hope and pray that each one of us will have that understanding in the Spirit this morning of Christ and his glory, his purposes, his plans, his desires, and that he's coming again soon. Will you turn in the Bible, please, to Matthew's Gospel? We've got two portions we're going to read now. Matthew chapter 6. And verses 19 to 21. Matthew chapter 6 and verses 19 to 21. And after that we will be turning to Colossians chapter 3. Matthew 6, 19 to 21. And then Colossians. Verse 19 says, Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That in my Bible is written in red, which tells me that is indeed the Lord Jesus who is speaking those words. And if Jesus is speaking, we need to hear. It's a relevant word for me, it's a relevant word for you, as it was 2,000 plus years ago. It's written to the saints, it's written to the believers, it's written to the followers of Jesus, those who make up the body of Christ. It's not written to the world, it's written to those who, in God's grace and through faith, have been born again of the Holy Spirit, and is saying, okay, you've done with the old. Now make sure that your treasure is in heaven. And our second reading is Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. That's the text. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, hey, We are dead people been brought to life. The old Colin is now dead. The old Paul is dead. The old Angie is dead. Dead. But it goes on to say, you've become alive. You've come alive. Come alive by the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now, you yourselves are to put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. You have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And you know, that passage there, I just reminds me so much of Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 6, where he describes in such brilliant pictorial terms what baptism is. When we go under the water, we are giving voice to the fact that as we are go under the water, our old life is being buried. Sin no longer has a grip on me. I've died to that. And as we come up out of the water, Romans chapter 6 says, we celebrate the resurrected life of Jesus. We rise in the power of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And so this is a command to you and to me: seek the things which are above. Because you've died to the past. That should no longer have a hold on you. From time to time, yes, you slip by slip. From time to time, we give in to fear. We give in to anger. We give in to those things which are not pure and hinder the work of Christ in us. But that should no longer is our lifestyle. We're no longer under sin. That habitual sin belonged to our past. He has come. He's given us new life. He has broken the chains that bound us. I could not break one single chain that I was bound to. I couldn't. I was held captive. But he has come, he has been manifest, the Son of God, to destroy the works of the evil one. Hallelujah. He has come to release the captives, to heal the sick. The blind can see, the lame can walk, the deaf can hear. Hallelujah. Because he's risen. One or two of the hymns and songs reminded us of that this morning. Yes, he lay in the grave. But come that resurrection morning, nothing could hold him. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive forevermore. And because he lives, I live too. I'm no longer captive to sin. Friends, we weren't raised with Christ and left in the graveyard. We weren't raised with Christ and left in the graveyard. We weren't raised in Christ to mire in the mud. We weren't. So the command here in Colossians chapter 3 and many other passages is: set your mind on things above. Don't set them on earthly things. And of course, that doesn't just include material possessions, but if you will, the immaterial things of this world. Earthly honor, positions, advancement. Of course that isn't necessarily wrong. Paul is not suggesting that the Christian should now withdraw from commerce, that the Christian should now withdraw from business, that the Christian should not seek to be excellent in what he has been called or she has been called to do. The Apostle Paul is not suggesting that. If that were so, we would have no Christian surgeons, we'd have no Christian head teachers. There would be no excellence. But the difference is, as a follower of Jesus, as you have now died to self and seeking that on a daily basis, but are living because you've been resurrected in Christ, those things no longer have, it's no longer all that matters to you. You have a higher calling. The mindset is dominated by things that really matter. And seeing God's picture. You know, there's a verse in Galatians which says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live because I'm dead. The old boy is dead. Hallelujah. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That's the word of God. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, then you died on the cross with him. Your self-life dies. But you were then resurrected, given a new eternal life, not tainted by sin. And this life which Christ has given you is indestructible. Hallelujah. Is indestructible. It doesn't mean that you don't know the world around you exists. It doesn't mean that you quit your job and you lay on the sofa all day. It means that what is really important to you are the things that grip you, and it involves your heavenly citizenship. It's transformation of yourself into a new person. And praise be to his name, is his power that is at work in me. Verses 5 to 7 of our chapter, which we've just read, Colossians chapter 3, says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. You see, when we're seeing the bigger picture, when we set our mind on heavenly things, when we're looking unto Jesus, then the things on earth should and must grow dimmer. They're not preoccupying us. And we want to see the bigger picture. Friends, I do get concerned sometimes about my own poor prayers. And sometimes when I hear other prayers, it's almost as if we've come to Jesus so that he can give us a better life here, that he can immediately come and take us out of our problem, out of the issue, out of the challenge immediately, so that we don't have to walk through it. Sometimes God will do that, but we need to know what his plans and purposes are. We need that discernment to know what the evil one has put on us. And we need to repent and rebuke the evil one so that he no longer has that on us. But what we may have to go through, and it may be a challenge at work, it may be a challenge in our family, it might be a situation which we would rather not, we would like to escape it now. So we say to the Lord, deliver me out of this now. And he might well do that. But sometimes he has a much more noble purpose, even, that we will be purified, refined. That as we go through this particular trial, Christians are not exempt from trials. They are not. And it is through the storms of life that we find that we've got a great God who is our rock. So in times of difficulty, times of challenge, he might have a much more greater work that he wants to do in us, that we grow deeper in him, that we will not sink, but we will be able to be covered by him and get the other side. And there's a testimony in that. So we must, at times, friends, you know, get the bigger picture. There's this 21-year-old Christian, Aisling Hubert. He's been hit with a £25,000 legal bill in her attempt to bring a private prosecution against doctors who offered gender abortions. She's been hit with a £25,000 legal bill. The CPS, the Crown Prosecution Service, derailed Aisling's private prosecution. And following this, the judge ordered Aisling to pay the legal cost of one of the doctors. Aisling has been punished for seeking justice for women and unborn children. And the Christian Witness and others will be supporting Aisling. But she's following her conscience. She went, you know, this is getting the bigger, what do you want, Lord? She wanted to make a difference. And because the world is the world, she's been penalized big time. But she took up a cross in the bigger picture. And we sometimes are so overwhelmed with something in the light of eternity might be absolutely petty, but it consumes us. That's setting your mind on earthly things rather than above. Praise God for the family. Praise God for Connect Groups, that we can share our needs. We can share those things which are troubling us. We can have the support of prayer. We can have support of friends. Praise be to his name. But don't let us spend all our time dwelling on the things which actually are insignificant, perhaps, compared to what's really going on and what we may be called to walk through in the coming days. The Times newspaper this week: Hindu extremists warn Christians, recant or be killed. That's happening to our brothers and sisters in a country right now. It's not just India, but particularly in India, those who have converted from Hinduism to the Christian faith are now, either you recant your faith and revert back to Hinduism, or we're... These are the things which we should be praying about, that they will remain strong, that they will not give in, that their testimony will be glorious, and even if they lose their life, they've won. These are the things we should be praying about in Connect Groups. So that when it comes to us, if it comes to us, and it will at some point, we will know that others in India, others in Pakistan are praying for us. Our brethren are praying for us. And it's not because God is forsaking us. We're actually fulfilling his will. Fifteen months ago, it was huge news. 300 girls in Nigeria had been captured, taken away. Some managed to escape. But there's about 200 still missing. And it says here, we may never find the lost girls, says new Nigerian president. Christian girls. This is what's going on in this world. Not to depress us, but that we will get the bigger picture and say, Lord, how do you want me to live? Help me not to set my mind on earthly things, the trivial, but set with a determination my mind on things above. That will help us to pray. That will help us to get the bigger picture that God has for us. verses we just read from Colossians chapter 3 about these things which we as believers must not now do. We must not do. But you know, friends, merely knowing this list will not change us. Merely knowing this list, reading this list, focusing on this list will not change us. Knowing the list will not make you a better person. In fact, if I focus on that list, what I must not do, that list will begin dominating my thoughts. You understand that? That's what then is dominating my thoughts. It may, in reality, make it harder for me not to sin. Let me give you an illustration. On the walls are pictures of a nice pussycat. Pussycats on the walls. Have a good look. Have a good look. Focus on that cat. Big eyes, a nice hat. Just focus. Nothing wrong with that. Nice picture. Okay, take your eyes off from the picture now. And as it were, just close your eyes for a moment. And I don't want you to think about that picture. I don't want you to think about that cat. Don't think about it. Okay. Now I guess probably you had difficulty not to think about that picture. You had difficulty not thinking about it. It's a cute picture. But it could have been a horrible thing. I could put something horrible up there. Some of you, when you came in, thought, what are those pictures doing up there? And it sort of distracted you a bit. Because, yes, I understand that. But even though you would want not to think, not to dwell on it, because I've asked you not to, you still did. You still did. We had trouble not thinking about the picture on the wall. You see, the trouble, friends, with trying to be moral by keeping the list of things that we shouldn't do is that the list becomes that which we look at all the time. And it's the list the enemy will remind us of. So it's the list which fills their mind. And because it fills the mind, the things on the list becomes hard to avoid. Another way of saying it, if you will, that which you keep your eyes on is that which shapes your thinking. That which you are focusing on is what is shaping your thinking. That's why the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, okay, don't set your mind, don't set your eyes on things below. Don't let that have the preeminence over you. But look at the preeminent one, Jesus Christ, the heavenly thing, the soon coming King, the eternal matters. That's what he meant when he said, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. In fact, he says in verse 8, doesn't he? But now yourselves are to put off all these. These shouldn't bother you now. And when they do, quickly confess it and say, I want to see Jesus. Get into his word. Put a worship tape on. Sing a Christian hymn. Find another brother. Find another sister. Say, let's have a cup of tea together. Let's read the word. Let's pray together. I don't want to have those thoughts. I don't want what happened to me 10 minutes ago to happen again. I want to focus on things above. I'm a child of the heavenly King. Hallelujah. His power lives in me so that I don't have to live at this poor earthly rate. What we set our minds on determines our seeking and thus the direction of our lives. If you are directionless this morning, it's because you're not focusing on Christ. You're still earthbound. If you're directionless this morning, you have not set your heart and mind on things above. Hey, what do you think when you've got nothing else to do? We all daydream. Of course we daydream. We think about our favourite team. We think about our coming holiday. Sometimes we're under great pressures at work. Pressure in our finances. Pressure in our families. Our health. So that we can scarcely at some time think on anything else. Thank the Lord, he understands that. But these things aside, do our minds regularly go up to Christ and things above? If not, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. The Bible says, but where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Friends, listen. What will be the divine post-mortem? What will that post-mortem, God's post-mortem, reveal as being your and my highest priority? What will it reveal? Making money? Our team winning? A comfortable lifestyle? Or Christ? And friends, we must remember that setting our minds is a deliberate act of the will. We set our minds on learning to drive and passing the test. We set our minds on that. We set our mind on booking that holiday we want. We set our mind on finishing a particular project. So we could set our mind with God's help on things above. The settled, unshakable conviction of the Apostle Paul was that the open tomb opened the way to a life of immense possibilities. Hallelujah. He wanted the Colossians not only to believe in the power of Christ's resurrection, but to claim the victory as their own. The only remedy for the indulgences of the flesh is the believer's new life in Christ. And by our union, your union, my union with Christ, Jesus Christ, in his death, we can die to the world's way of believing, thinking, and acting. In the believer's union with Christ, hallelujah, in his resurrection, the power to live a new life is found. May God help us to please him and to have his perspective and see the bigger picture. We pray. Hallelujah. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, friends, what I've been sharing this morning from the Word is not impossible. It is to you, it is to me, but it's not impossible with God. Hallelujah. He's come to set us free. Time is short. Time is very short. Let us redeem the time. Let us not be consumed by the trivial, but more consumed with what's on God's heart and eternity. His coming again. Setting our heart and mind on an eternity with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. When God comes down and makes his presence among us, we shall see him. No veil, no sin in between. May the divine post-mortem say, yeah, you've been a faithful servant. Well done. If you are concerned or want prayer, do avail yourself to come forward. If something is crippling you and you want breakthrough, but you must have the mind. It's no good coming out and thinking God's just going to do it if you are not having that mindset to say, I know that I need to leave that behind. And then also it's no good coming out if you don't believe that God is able to change that which you cannot change. If you have faith in him, then believe that those impossible situations will be made possible, that that stumbling block can be removed, that cul-de-sac that you are going down, that roundabout which you are on can be a thing of the past. It can set you on the road to glory. Hallelujah. Pleasing him. Your affections on Jesus. That's what God's will is for us. We're not saying anything which is not in his word and his will for you and for me. Set you free.